Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A bartender that dreads the phrase, "Hey, can you put the game on?" At Sports on What, we understand your pain and we're here to help. Over the air, satellite, cable, or streaming, Sports on What knows what channel the game is on and you can too. Follow your favorite teams, set alerts, and filter by provider to get the results you need. Stop wasting time searching and never miss kickoff again. Just download the Sports on What app and you'll always know how to watch the game. Available for Android and iOS. Start your 7-day free trial when you download Sports on What and subscribe today.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Who's Talk Slash is on the way at 4:30. But first time for a few emails from The Men's Room at KISW.com.
You've got mail. You've got mail.
Oh, but y'all, I want to give a birthday shout out to my lovely daughter, Bella, who enters into the double digits today. I cannot believe it's already been a decade of laughter and love with you. We love you so much, that from Mom and Dad. So how about a little kid fish sandwich and some dad jokes for Miles? Keep on rocking, guys. See you at the Black Raven Party, February 7th.
All right.
And the launch of the Men's Room 20th Anniversary Lager.
Fish sandwich.
Okay, let's see here. Guys, I was in a taxi earlier today, and the driver said, "I love my job. I'm my own boss. Nobody tells me what to do." I said, "You need to make a left here." I asked the ER doctor if I could do my own stitches. She said, "Suit yourself."
Well played.
Suit yourself.
Well played.
Suit like yourself. And what do you call someone who hangs out with musicians? What do you call someone who hangs out with musicians?
A groupie.
Landlord.
A drummer.
Wow. Losers.
Hello, guys. My son, now Remington, is turning 15 today. He's a huge fan, a really good kid, loves the outdoors, and has a wicked sense of humor. He's a Life Scout in the Boy Scouts. By the way, that's one away from Eagle.
That's correct.
Okay, I was going to ask.
Yeah.
That's what Miles is.
That's right. Oh. I'm a scout for life. You're just an eagle. I'm a Life Scout. Yeah. Sounds better, doesn't it? Because you're only an Eagle Scout once.
No. I got the two palms, Miles.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you in the Order of the Arrow?
Yeah.
Were you? Oh,
yeah. Okay.
What is the Order of the Arrow? What do you have to do to
it's
be Order
nothing.
Of the Arrow? Yeah, but they don't just give it to
they
you.
They drop you off in the middle of the woods and you got to find your way.
If you don't die, you're part of the Order of the Arrow.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you got to do that like for a week and you become Vigil.
Look,
he's an Eagle Scout.
Yeah.
It's never going to change.
No. Not for, I'm just alive.
You can keep throwing out stuff. Like,
yeah.
The man's got the credentials.
He does. Yeah.
I even got the cool little medal, Miles.
In fact, in honor of Mike Hawk. Oh, hell, where is it?
Where is it at?
Oh, thank That's you. An eagle screeching yes. overhead.
We should get you a Boy Scout uniform that fits now and put all your stuff on it.
Sure.
My old one does, Ted. I found it and I put that bitch on.
Still fits?
Still fits.
Oh, wow. I don't think mine would still fit.
You got to rock that someday. Oh, man, I might have to.
So for Remington, we would love Coach Ted to give advice and a suck it up cupcake, guys. Love from the mom, Rochelle, or Rachel.
Advice I'll be in 10?
15.
Oh, 15. Jesus, I got confused. First of all, Remington, I'm not shocked you like the outdoors. I mean, I'm familiar with your arms.
Yeah.
All right, you're 15. Listen, you're going to want to start driving, man. In a few months, you'll go take the test. You'll get your little learner's permit or whatever. Just keep your annoying friend out of the car. You can't drive with him at night. And then also, Driving fast seems fun. You don't need to do it, all right? When you get older, you can buy a fast car. You can be one of those drivers. But you're 15, son. You got plenty of time. And let's be honest, you'd rather be outdoors anyhow.
Hello, guys. Today's my son Brent's 40th birthday. We both listen to you guys and also listen to the Daily Mix Morning Show on the way to work in the morning. I often call Brent and ask if he heard something funny that was on the show that day. I've never laughed so hard at some of the stuff you guys say. He's not embracing turning 40 and asked me today, why would I celebrate getting old? So please help him take on a great birthday milestone. Thanks, guys. That's from Brent's mom, Kathy. Dealer's choice there, Mike. Whatever you want for Brent.
Embrace getting old. Because the alternative is death.
Mm. It's time to take off the leash.
No other way to put it, right?
That's right.
Ozzy Osbourne, I can't remember what age he was turning. It's probably 30 years ago. But someone asked him, Ozzy, what's it like getting older? And he said it beats the alternative. And that stuck in my head. I'm like, he is not wrong.
Yep. Boobies and beer, bitches. I wanted to wish my best friend Bjorn a happy 43rd birthday. We've been lifelong friends since elementary and been through all the shenanigans. So let's get him all of the Puff Tough Crew. A couple of bong hits, because one is never enough. Thanks, guys. That's from Brian in Gig Harbor.
Bjorn, your name sounds like when you pull your underwear off of your erection.
Bjorn. Bjorn. Yeah, and then you end up with a baby Bjorn.
Oh, no, let me give him another one. Yeah, you know, that's a good one. I never wore one of those.
No?
No. I thought it'd be a good idea, and my wife just said, dude, look, you don't want to carry that kid around like that in front of you. And she explained all these reasons why, and I said, fine. I actually just carry my kids like a football. Put my hand around the waist, just carry
it. That buddy rocked it forever.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How old was the kid when he stopped? 9?
Oh, I don't know. But it was just one of those things. It was like, and their kid was so small, so you'd be like, oh, yeah, there's the baby.
Right. Mm. Well, dude, in Africa, every new mother carries the baby on their back. So the
like in a sack, right?
Contraption's completely different. Like, you really can't even see your infant. So at one point in time, I was behind a lady in line and thought she was wearing a backpack. I'm like, oh, my God, that's a kid.
Where'd you get that backpack?
Exactly. Well, isn't there a way you could tie up those baby Bjorns to make it a backpack, too?
Probably. I've never seen anybody wear it that way. You know, it's typically you want to see, like, is my kid breathing? Am I suffocating them with my backpack?
Check later.
You do.
Yeah, exactly.
You speak for yourself.
Hi, guys. Here you go.
Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday to you, to you, to you.
Yaws of Dirty Germans, brought to you by Men's Room Original Sausage. Available through Uli's World Famous Sausage, mensroomlive.com, and other fine retailers. Mmm, Schweineflash.
Think about a couple extra emails. The subject, Malort Ryan Castle, and a stolen bottle of booze.
Ooh.
Leroy Jenkins, Bajolas. Years ago, at the live day, after your 3,000th show, I gave Ryan Castle a bottle of Malort to give you gentlemen as a congrats on 3,000. It would seem that that bottle never made it to you. Might be time to bring Castle in and see what in the hell he did with your booze. That from the Reverend Benoit. We might have got it. My memory's terrible. So
do you think we got it, Mike?
I think we did. Now that we're saying that, because that was 3,000, right?
Yeah.
So I vaguely remember that.
Really?
I will only say this in defense of Castle. There are sometimes, especially with you, Charles, I've known you longer. I'll be like, no, we were there. So, like, there's a chance that bottle got drank in here.
Yeah.
There's a very good chance that it did, because I feel like there's a handful of bottles that get emptied in here that just we forget about.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be one of those where we're like, God, this is awful. Oh, yeah.
But we have the
Let's
rule.
Let's take another shot.
Well, yeah. Once we open it, right? So our rule, we figured this out years and years and years ago. Somebody got us a gallon of Everclear, I believe it was.
Oh, God.
But we also had just regular handles of decent Jack Daniels, Jameson, and all that.
Sure.
And we would rather have drank that, but we all agreed. We said, look, let's just get through the crap first, the Everclear. So as a result of that, we ended up pounding more Everclear than any normal person would just to get through it faster. And we regretted it. But that's always been our rule. So if we got the crappy booze in here or the one we don't like, look, we got to finish this one first, which means we're going to do 4 or 5 shots of it each day until it's gone.
Do you guys remember Sambuca week last year?
God, that was awful. Yeah.
But it doesn't go to waste.
It doesn't go to waste. It was just terrible. But we did multiple shots of the stuff to get rid of it. I'm not going
to
pour down the drain. Yes, to get rid of it. It was horrible. So we did multiple shots of this. Every shot, God, this is bad. Pour me another one, man.
Sambuca week was fun. It's like, kind of like, what is that smell?
It's a reek of black licorice in here.
Like, what is, Mike, are you eating licorice?
Oh, like every day. Somebody just brushed their teeth. It's the Sambuca.
I mean, it's just such a specific scent.
It is.
Subject, car names. Gentlemen, heard you guys talking about car names, and Miles is a crazy man that doesn't name his cars. I'm 22, just sold my first car I've ever had since I turned 16. R.I.P. Mondo. Greatest first car ever, man. Big shout out to Mondo. That from John Allen, former Ace guy. And on that subject, I got to read you this email. Because we were talking about what you name and the fact that we've had listeners name their pets after us, whatever the deal is, and brought up the ginger midget, the fact that she named some goats after the members of the show.
Yeah, this email was much more graphic than I thought it was going to be.
We have an update for you.
All right.
The ginger midget herself. Oliver Jules. Catching up on the podcast on the Odyssey app. Heard you guys talking about my goats on last Friday's show. Thrill, if it makes you feel any better, Miles the goat died first.
Yes!
Sorry, Miles. Ha ha. I got a red goat as a companion for Thrill and named him Castle. Then Thrill died.
Oh.
So I got Robin, Ted, and Taryn to keep Castle company. A year or so later, Castle died. I finally gave up on being a goat mom and sold Robin, Ted, and Taryn about 4 years ago. The last I heard, Ted got out and was hit by a car or mauled by a dog or something. Taryn had a couple of kids, and Robin's status is unknown. Congrats on 20 years. Can't make it to the party because I have to work doing a thing down in Vancouver. I'm sure it'll be a blast. Stay beautiful. That from the Ginger Midget.
Mike, are you upset that none of the goats are named after you?
Yeah, thanks, Bridget. Yeah. I just like Ted got out. Nobody puts Ted in the cage.
Yeah, got in my car.
Or mauled by a dog.
Ted went out on his own terms, though.
Well, Ted always wants, like, if you got to die,
like
I want
that,
the great
like
story.
Like that rehab Falcon they released right into the 18-wheeler.
Lone wolf goat.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd stay in this cage, Bridget.
All right, coming up, we will drink and toast with a shout of the day at 5:08, but first.
Now, the men's room wants to know who sucks less.
Hey, time for Who Sucks Less. Stephen Thrill Hill, you bring us three stories in the news each and every week. They always suck. It is up to us to determine out of the three stories which one sucks the least. Now, if you happen to follow KISW on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, the debate is already underway on Who Sucks Less.
And like we said at the top of the show, we got the three stories. One involves drone. Two involve the insurance industry, which I know is shocking. Anyone ever flown a drone?
No.
I bought a drone about 6 years ago, I guess it was. My son was 6 years old, and I bought like the cheapest one they've got. It's like $45, just trying to get the hang of it. And it was really cool for about 2 days. Then it hit our chimney and exploded into 1,000 different pieces. I have not revisited the drone world ever since.
You're never going to be chimney of the month at that rate.
Nah, bro, it was vicious. My son was crying. It was just like this whole thing. But let's start with the drones. Now, last week, a firefighting aircraft was grounded after it was struck by a civilian-flown drone while over the Palisades Fire. We know what is going on with the wildfires down there in Los Angeles. These things have been devastating. They've been horrible. I understand that people want to get their drone footage, but there are planes and helicopters there that are actually trying to put the fire out. Maybe stay out of the way. So the collision, which involved a Canada Air CL-415, happened around 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The Super Scooper, as it's called, suffered a hole in its wing because of the drone strike. It's unclear how long the aircraft will be inoperable. Now, there were no injuries reported in connection with it, but the incident is under investigation by the FAA, who issued a stern reminder to civilians that flying a drone in the midst of firefighting efforts is a federal crime punishable by up to 12 months of prison or a fine of up to $75,000. And then they had to make the statement, which is obvious to people that are not stupid. When people fly drones near wildfires, fire response agencies often ground their aircraft to avoid the potential for a mid-air collision. Delaying airborne response poses a threat to the firefighters on the ground, the residents, and the property in nearby communities, and it can allow wildfires to grow larger.
I also heard
a couple other things.
They could have been out there looking for footage, but some people were using the drones to be able to alert potential neighbors that they could see the fire coming on the hillside towards their home. Other people were looking to make sure that the roads were accessible to get out.
I hear you.
But that doesn't change the fact of what happened.
There are people there to do that. That's actually why they're there, to do that part.
Exactly.
Right. Let's see. This is a recent report here. The big three companies acting as the intermediaries between drug makers and insurance providers made billions by needlessly jacking up the prices of life-saving drugs. Again, I know you're stunned. I hope you were sitting down. So, in its second interim staff report on pharmacy benefit managers, the Federal Trade Commission said that CVS Health's Caremark Rx, Cigna's Express Scripts, and United Health Group's Optum Rx marked up numerous drugs by thousands of percent and many others just by hundreds of percent, generating $7.3 billion in revenue in excess of the cost of the drugs over 5 years. So, in other words, they paid for the drugs, and then by the time they sell them to you, they profited a $7.3 billion. Now, that report analyzed two specialty generic drugs, flagging markups over 1,000%. The report expands the analysis to 51 specialty generic drugs. For these, the Big Three's price markup revenue climbed from $522 million back in 2017 to $2.1 billion only 4 years later in 2021. So they say cancer drugs alone made up nearly half of the $7.3 billion in revenue, with multiple sclerosis medications accounting for another 25%. So between MS and cancer, that's 50% of their markups. Now, the companies found to have reimbursed their pharmacies at a higher rate than they paid the unaffiliated pharmacies on nearly every specialty drug. It also generated an additional $1.4 billion over 5 years through the practice of billing plan sponsors more than they reimbursed the pharmacies for their drugs. So it's not a scam. You didn't know what was going on. This is just the numbers that they make out of this.
Okay.
So in other words, if you have a drug, what's a late night commercial now? So this drug medication costs 45 cents a pill, but they'll charge you $15 for it. But some of these cancer meds, they're legitimately expensive, and they still mark it up over 1,000%. It is absolutely ridiculous. And on that note, we talk about a woman named Elizabeth Foley. She was swimming in the ocean off the coast of Florida with her family when a shark suddenly appeared right next to her. Quote, I saw this incredibly large dark mass that looked like a torpedo. But the next thing she knew, she was being bitten between the legs. Kinky little thing. But she ended up punching the shark, but it grabbed her left hand. Now, she survived, but her hand was gone. The shark took her entire hand. So she used to live in Massachusetts. Now she lives in Virginia. She had 19 surgeries and finally got a prosthetic. And she said, it's a good tool. It's better than not having a hand, I think. But she was hoping for something better, a myoelectric hand that could do a lot more. So basically, the myoelectric hand has multiple grips. The fingers work. In essence, she'd get most of her motor skills back, and it would improve life significantly. So right now, she is the equivalent of, say, a glass eye.
All right.
You can't see out of it, but aesthetically, it might take people a second to notice. This prosthetic she wants to get now, you can wiggle your fingers, you can grip a bag, you can pick stuff up, move around, etc. But the insurance denied the claim, saying her policy excludes the myoelectric devices. Quote, it was kind of a punch in the gut because I just want to get back to normal. So now she's turning to the community, launching a fundraising page so she can pay for the new hand without relying on insurance. She needs to raise about $73,000 for that. And my issue with the insurance is, you know, because we heard a lot of cancellations in L.A. for people with their fire insurance. We've heard the same thing in Florida, say, with, like, their flood insurance and all that. And it's like, look, if you want to cancel someone's policy, I think what they should be required to do is reimburse you all the money you've given them, less the money they've had to pay. Right? So if I've been giving you $5,000 a year for 10 years and you've made $50,000 off of me, and you want to cancel my insurance, give me my $50,000 back. But if I had to make a claim that costs $15,000, then just give me $35,000 back. But they don't know. They can just take your money, close
up.
I'm
going to be honest with you, man. This might be the hardest one you've ever done.
You think?
Yeah. Just on picking which one sucks the least?
Sucks the least. I know which one I think sucks the least. In this case, I'd go with the drone because I do not believe it was their intent to. And again, I think it's stupid, but
true.
I do not believe
still,
it was to punch a hole.
It was something that was necessary to hopefully spread these wildfires. And who knows?
I didn't say it was awesome.
Who knows what they would have stopped if it had still been operational.
That one sucks the least. It is almost tough to see who sucks more, but I think the pharmaceutical companies marking up the drugs just because that's so many people you're affecting.
And like I said, and it's not like aspirin, man. I mean, we're talking things that save people's lives or at least allow them to live the life they're going to live and be a lot more comfortable.
Debate continues on Who Sucks Less if you follow KISW on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. All right, coming up, we'll drink a toast with a shot of the day at 5:08. You are listening to The Men's Room.
99.9 KISW. The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Hold on, drink a toast for the show of the day coming up at 5:08. And we do have your headlines on the way at 5:50. Well, first quick check with Mike Hogg and some of the stories and headlines he is not working on.
Well, thank you, Miles. Scientists have discovered a new sea bug in the South China Sea. Have you seen this thing?
I have not. Do I want to?
They're calling it a super giant Darth Vader sea bug.
Sea bug.
Is this one of those things that's been around for a million years?
It looks
and just
like
found
a,
it.
It looks like a giant pill bug.
What are they calling it again?
It is the super giant, all one word, super giant Darth Vader sea bug. Mm. This thing is massive. It is about the size of your chest.
That's not okay.
Can you eat it?
I mean, I assume you can eat anything. Ooh. I mean, you grill it up just right. I mean, you probably got to go slow with it, let it all come together, or boil it.
That is a... At some point, you're not a bug. You are related to bugs, but that
is
not a bug.
This is a relative of a horseshoe crab.
Yeah, it looks like a crab.
Yeah.
That's why I want to eat it.
Can you eat horseshoe crab?
No.
Is that legality, or is it actually you can't eat?
Oh, they just don't have a lot of meat.
I don't think anyone wants to.
They're mostly just an exoskeleton.
Gotcha. All right. The FDA has issued a ban on the food dye Red 3, which is found to cause cancer in some animals.
But they've known this.
Yeah, but this does not affect
me. Because they outlawed it like 30 years ago in makeup because it causes cancer.
Right.
So they said, well, you can keep eating it. Just don't put it on the outside of your face.
Now, did they progress to Red 4?
I don't know, because I don't. When I was growing up, I want to say it was Red Dye number 5 was made illegal or something. Or I don't think they picked the numbers based on illegality. I think it's as we create it. But I want to say Red Dye number 5 was illegalized, maybe in my lifetime or something. Or
so okay, they are in.
Just know it's in. You've had it.
Yes. Oh, I guarantee you had it. Yeah,
it's in Brock's candies. It is in Pez. It is in candy corn. Peeps. Frosting, ice.
Do people icing, actually eat peeps?
Gummy bears, gummy worms.
Coming up.
Skittles, icing for cookies.
Yeah, you
had. And it looks like the red Gatorade I drank.
I crushed one today.
No.
I did. I was like, oh, this doesn't.
No.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. I saw the full list. It is unreal.
No kidding. Just how much stuff had Red 3 in it.
Yeah. Even just stuff that's not even red. You're like, huh. All right.
Right, that somehow contributes to the other color.
Sure, the rest of the hue that it's got going on there. Can we just be done with dye? I get it, it's visually appealing. Can we be done
with
dye?
It is visually appealing. But look, every time they try to just, I don't know, present things in its natural state, people are like, I do not want to consume this.
Yeah. All right, so toaster pastries. In other words, Pop-Tarts. strawberry-flavored milk. Certain ice cream flavors. Frozen yogurts. Some fruit cocktails, believe it or not.
Damn.
Cough syrups, gummy vitamins. Yeah, there's a number of just basic things.
Jeez, I wish.
It doesn't need to be in a gummy vitamin.
Or cough syrup.
Right.
Right. No, it's make it look more appealing.
Yeah, because I want my kids to be like, I need more meds, Dad.
Health experts are moving away from BMI as a true indicator for obesity.
Good.
What, to make you feel better?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, what's the reason for that?
Because the math is off.
Is it?
Yeah. Right. There's just a lot of people. I mean, Bobby, anybody, like almost every football player would be considered unhealthy.
Well, sure.
Basketball player. Right. Just the muscle weighs more than fat. So that's
more
that's
a. There's another measurement. It's like a waist.
Yep. They're doing a waist hip ratio.
Chest or hip ratio.
They're doing a.
Or your neck.
A true fat content measurement of you. And then they're also weighing that in with your daily activities that you're doing.
Okay. Yeah, you know, man, they should do that at your physical. Like just put you in a dunk tank like they would if you're getting your body measured. Seriously, that's how they measure fat.
Yeah.
Is it a tank? Put you in there, man. Then you get a true reading of, you know, what your fat is.
Exactly. Step on into the tank, sir.
Get the tank.
What?
Get the tank.
This is Ted. He's going to make you get in the tank for us. Get the tank.
I'm the tank guy.
Hey.
Get in the tank.
Feeling nervous. You know, the doctor's like, okay, we're going to have a special assistant coming.
Get in the tank.
You think Doc ain't got stuff to do? Try to be nice to you. You wouldn't get the tank. Get the tank.
You know how you were 30 minutes late to have this appointment? Yeah, that's because other people like you that wouldn't get into the doggone tank.
Right?
And he's been in there for 30 minutes.
Right. Guy behind you is an hour late now. Get in the damn tank.
You afraid of needles? It's the other option. Get in the tank.
Damn. Throw, what day is it, buddy?
That is today. It's Wednesday, January. The computer says January 15th.
You're right. It's National Bagel Day. And you know what? I'm going to give you guys all the information.
The Men's Room Top 10. The Men's Room Top 10.
10 surprising facts about bagels even true connoisseurs can appreciate. Back in the day when I enjoyed a toasted cinnamon raisin bagel with real butter, I thought of starting my own bagel company. Since I enjoy a good play on words, I came up with my signature combo. I thought it was a winner. A large coffee and a bagel with a pappy schmear. Didn't go over very well.
I would have thought of yeasty holes myself.
You gotta respect the schmear.
You gotta respect the schmear.
It's shocking they don't sell bagel holes.
Would you like to try our pap schmear?
Bagel holes?
Yeah. Yeah, they have donut holes.
Donut holes. Little bites, put a little cream cheese on. Right in your mouth. And dip it in there. Bagel hole.
It's just bagel bites.
It's a bagel hole.
But why do they call bagel bites instead of bagel holes? Right?
Because it's a donut hole. That's a mouthful, man.
What, bagel hole?
Well, they make tiny bagels. Miles is right, though. It's not like you're taking the whole lot of the donut. Yeah. Why is it there bagel balls?
Aren't you, though?
Bagel balls.
Yeah, just have a little bagel ball.
Aren't you getting a bit of dough and then you stamp the hole out of it?
I've never made a donut.
Damn right. Ain't going to your shop.
I don't know. What about donuts that don't have holes?
That's not where the donut holes come from. So these are 10 surprising facts about bagels that even true connoisseurs can appreciate. Last on the list, bagels actually has a close cousin, and I'm going to screw up this name. Bialy? Bialy?
How's it spelled?
B-I-A-L-Y.
Whatever you said.
Bialy. If you want to switch things up one morning, try ordering one of these doughy delights. Instead of a hole in the middle, a bialy has an indent in its dough that's usually filled with cooked onions. Also, unlike a bagel, it's baked. It's never boiled like the bagel dough first.
Oh, yeah, it's like a Polish bagel.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at it now. It's like someone didn't have the strength to poke the hole all the way through.
Do they actually take the hole out of it, or do they just roll it into a circle?
My impression of bagels, you just kind of tug on them and make a hole, but you don't have to punch the hole through.
Yeah.
Some baker right now is pulling their hair out.
Yes, they are.
But dude, we do not punch holes in bagels.
Damn it, man. Apple. Does anybody know Apple's relation to bagels? They had to redo something back in 2018.
Like Apple the company or Apple's the fruit?
Apple the company, yeah.
And bagels.
They had to redo its bagel emoji.
Why?
Yeah, so in honor of National Bagel Day in early 2018, Thomas Bagels released an emoji keyboard. 40 breakfast-centric emojis were on it, including an avocado-topped bagel. Later that year, Apple finally released the bagel emoji on its own platform, but not without controversy. After people complained that the plain bagel had nothing on it, it got redesigned with cream cheese during the iOS 12.1 beta 4-cycle release.
Well, I guess I'm looking at it now. Bagel before, bagel after. People.
If these are the things you worry about.
No, if these are the things you worry about, you're living a great life.
Yep. Look, if you got a plain bagel coming your way, don't worry. The world's your oyster. You can do whatever you want.
You can add cream cheese.
If you don't like cream cheese and you got a cream cheese bagel coming your way, guess what, friend? You lose.
Why are you saying that, Mike? Now you put it out in the universe of people that don't want cream cheese in their bagel and go after Apple again.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it have to be cream cheese?
Why
do you make assumptions?
I couldn't have avocado on.
Why are you plain bagel shaming?
Yeah, I like butter on my bagel. What now, Apple?
Mm-hmm. Just pull the bagel emoji altogether.
Just get rid of it. Bagel making was once a group effort. Bagel makers in the early 1900s worked in teams of four. Two people would make the dough, giving bagels their shape. One person boiled them, and the fourth person baked them.
All right.
Takes a lot.
No fifth person to punch a hole.
No. No hole puncher.
I'm the bagel hole puncher.
I'm sure one person could do it, but that would just... The rate would slow down so much.
Oh, absolutely. I did not realize just how in-depth it was to make a bagel.
It is. There's a lot more goes into it than you would think when you finally just eat one.
Right. It's not just roll the dough and then throw it in the oven. There's, you know, when I found out, no, you're actually boiling it or you're frying it or you're doing whatever it is that you're doing with it and then you're baking it. And then even then, you got to be very careful. Like, baking is already an exact science.
Oh, yeah.
Bagels take that into a different degree.
I cooked for 12 years, and some of the places we had a separate pastry chef or baker, and all I could ever think was, so you guys are like cooks, but real difficult.
That's right.
Like, that seems to be the major difference here.
Yeah. Have you ever seen them when they cook them on, like, a clothes-hanging rod? So like a wooden rod, and they hang them, and they bake them that way.
No,
I think that's Montreal style, maybe.
Pretty good.
All right,
not bad.
Yeah, and that one's
like rotisserie bagel.
That one's supposed to be a little bit different than New York bagel. I like. You ever see when they have the giant wooden, like, almost like a shot ski?
Okay, And they just, like, they're just lined up with bagels. So they're, like, I don't know if they put them in the oven, and then they sprinkle them with something.
Believe it or not, man, the last 10 years in Seattle, the bagel game has gone up tremendously.
All right, all right. Yes.
As a kid, we just ate Lenders, the little frozen ones.
Mm-hmm.
There have been caffeinated bagels for an extra morning jolt.
What?
Oh. In 2017, Einstein Bros. Bagels launched an espresso-infused bagel that was packed with 32 milligrams of caffeine and 13 grams of protein.
Wow.
Good on you, Einstein. I like Einstein, man. They make a damn good bagel.
When they get it right.
Yes. Now, listen.
Yes. This is just me, and this is my fault. We have a local Einstein's, and generally they do a very good job, and my general go-to is just the everything bagel, cream cheese, and lox, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I ordered. And I thought it was done rather quickly, cool, but I get to work. It wasn't toasted. And then I thought, look, man, if someone is getting cream cheese and anything on their bagel, they probably want to toast it, but at least ask. I just did not think I need. It's like saying I want a hamburger and them saying, would you like it cooked? You know? Or I'm ordering ribs. Would you like them with meat on them? Like, yes, let's just make the assumption.
See, to me, I think bagels are only toasted if you have hot food on them. I always just put cream cheese on them.
Thank you.
Really?
Man. Yeah.
It's like a dog toy to me at that point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I like them chewy like that.
Really?
Ted.
Yeah.
100%.
You guys ruined it for me.
The everything bagel was possibly invented by a 15-year-old.
I accidentally spilled his mom's spicy cabinet.
I think I'm done with that.
Really?
Yeah.
I love the everything.
I do like it, man, but I'm back on onion.
Back on the
onion. It's got onion in there, too.
I know. It's got everything.
Have you had the everything bagel hummus?
No.
No.
I bet that's
pretty salty, but it's pretty good.
A New Yorker named Dave Gusson, who worked in a bagel shop in Howard Beach, told The New Yorker that he actually invented the everything bagel back in 1980 at age 15. He claimed that he was sweeping seeds out of the oven and got the idea to combine them on a bagel. The shop then sold the everything bagel for an extra nickel, but since the article came out, the claim has been contested, with another former bagel bakery worker declaring he made the everything bagel.
Oh, so like the sesame seeds, the poppy seeds, all the stuff that was cooked on the other bagels, he just took them all out and put them on one bagel.
Correct.
And that's everything.
Right. He was just cleaning out the oven because of all these things that he got baked. He's like, screw it, let's put it all on there. Bagels have holes for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the poop.
The holes make bagels bake faster, according to the Q&A. The holes also made bagels stackable on a dowel or wooden pole, which made it easier for street vendors to sell them.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I wonder why they don't have... Yeah. Now you know why they don't have a bagel bun.
That's right.
They never got a pretzel bun.
They keep trying that, but the egg keeps falling through the hole in the middle.
Well, but the bagel's already sandwich ready.
Yeah.
For the most. Whereas the pretzel, you had to turn into a bun.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Bagels go way back. The birth of the bagel is debated largely because bagel-shaped bread has been around for centuries in various cultures. One legend provides the bagel was invented in 1683 as a stirrup-shaped tribute to Polish King Jan, after defending Vienna from Turkish conquest. But there was another author there that pointed out that the bagel looks a lot like, shoot, Obwarzanek, a Polish bread that dates back to the late 1300s.
You know, I dressed as Obwarzanek in third grade for Halloween.
Did you?
And everyone knew who I was.
That's right. Again, these are the surprising
that invented bagels.
Surprising facts about bagels that even true connoisseurs can appreciate. The biggest bagel on record. Any idea how much this thing weighed? The biggest bagel ever on record. How much did it weigh?
140 pounds.
140. Mouse.
50 pounds.
50 pounds. Ted.
550 pounds.
You were the closest without going over. 868 pound bagel.
And then what do you do with it is the
you
problem.
You snack on it, man.
You set a record, and then you chop it up and give it to the people that have come to see your record.
Okay.
11,000 pounds of dough, 900 gallons of water, 10 hours to bake.
Where? But where do you bake it?
Like in a
steel mill? Like in a kiln? Like a huge...
Yeah,
I think you put it in an abandoned warehouse, let the warehouse on fire, extinguish that fire, and hope the bagel's done.
Some of those world records are a little iffy, right? Like the longest pizza. It's basically a bunch of pizzas pushed together.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Miles is right. You just physically, there's not an oven to cook this stuff.
Correct. And then this is the number one surprising fact about bagels that even true connoisseurs can appreciate. They have been to space.
Bagels have been to space.
They've been to space, man.
Bagels in space.
I always
dreamed
about going to space, and a bagel's been to space.
2008, there was an astronaut that boarded Discovery for a 14-day flight into space, accompanying him 18 bagels from Fairmount, a shop owned by his aunt.
I wonder how much he had to convince NASA. Nice. Like, look, man, I've done all the training. Man,
let me
I'm
take
just
the
saying.
Bagels.
I'm taking the goddamn bagel.
No, I'm taking a toaster. Can you imagine what it blows out of the toaster? Like when it pops.
A little seeds going.
Two half bagels just start. I mean, that's pretty cool, man. Two bagels floating.
Where's the cream cheese?
That's right. I do respect that dude. She's like, I ain't going up there without bagels, dude.
That's right. My aunt's bagels.
They're going up. Pretty good.
A driver in the Bay Area was arrested for ramming another driver's car, but he felt justified, Miles.
Why was that?
Tell you all about it at 5:50.
Thank you, sir. Headlines are coming up at 5:50. In the meantime, have we made it to drinking time?
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk. And Steve, a thrill hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. And today we toast an unidentified man from San Juan, Malta. Now, our honoree, along with multiple other residents of San Juan, they'd been pleading with the local city council for months to fix the numerous potholes plaguing the streets, particularly the potholes on and around Bella Vista Road. Well, the potholes, they'd gotten to the point that they were, quote, hazardous. Anyway, like most municipalities, the San Juan City Council, they dragged their feet. So our honoree, he took matters into his own hands. What did he do? He did what, frankly, I believe to be the one thing that cuts through the red tape, demolishes bureaucracy, and gets any city to move with swiftness. He spray-painted penises around each and every single pothole throughout the city of San Juan. The following day, the city council announced that they'd be fixing the potholes soon. It's just that easy. I don't know what it is. If you want to get something done, spray-paint a penis on it. I swear to God, it's like no matter where you are in the world, this is the greatest offense you can do. And people that have been dragging their feet for months or years, suddenly they're on it, right?
Yep.
If you said, man, we need a, we need a new playground at the elementary school.
Yeah, we just
spray paint a penis on it. Look, by next school year, you're going to have a new one. It's just how it works. So my man apparently worked in Malta, works here in the United States.
You can have traffic as a swastika on the side. You spray paint a penis over it, they'll come.
Now they're going to get rid of the swastika.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. You spray some hate crime stuff up there. Exactly. And they're like, oh, that's so sad. Put a penis around it. The city's got it covered. So we pour this booze, and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Tell the hola, bitchola.
All right, he's going to contest on the line for Profile This Now. 206-803-ROCK. Profile This is next.